What do you think about that? The hurricanes going on? West Coast, East Coast, middle of the Atlantic, an earthquake, floods, fires. And then we have all the other stuff going on. We have, is it just that I'm coming of an age where I pay attention to the news? I don't remember things being this wild and woolly when I was a kid. But it could be that I just didn't ever pay attention to the news. And I had a hint of that the other day. I was watching something that reminded or went back to remember the 60s. Turmoils of the 60s and riots and stuff. I did not know any of that as a kid growing up. We were in rural western Colorado, and so there was no sense of riots and fires and all of the things going on. And so but the unease that's going on, and I know a lot of people that are feeling that same way. And I saw on the internet there's a fellow who is building his own Mars habitat. And he's going to build this with that's self-contained, have its own oxygen, its own food, its own everything. So he can live in this for some period of time. He's convinced he can build this. And I don't know if that's going to happen. At any rate, I think he's also building himself an internet channel, and they make money, you know, from doing these videos. But I had to think about that for a moment, and there's a part of me that is ready to just check out and go and live in a Mars habitat, completely secluded from the world. Anybody ever get that feeling? Am I the only one, or just sometimes you just want to go to another planet, go somewhere else, get away from it all? I have good and bad news. The bad news is we cannot live. We cannot leave. As Christians, as children of God, we're supposed to be here. And we're supposed to be in the middle of the thick of things. This is kind of an amazing thing. That first scripture that was out of Ezekiel, if you're following along in your Bible, Ezekiel speaking God's word to the people. The prophet Ezekiel, one of the five great major prophets, says, if you do not speak to warn the wicked to turn from their ways, the wicked shall die in iniquity. But your blood I will require at your hand. Holy mackerel. So if these people misbehave, and I can't just say, God will take care of you. You'll get yours, which is true. God's justice always comes. And we can say that, but if we don't step up and say, you need to know. You need to know that there will be an accounting. If we do not speak to warn the wicked, our blood will be required. That's the bad news. And the worst part of that is that there are some people that are more than willing to become the rule police. Have you ever met people like that? The ones that are just more than willing to tell you all the things you're doing wrong and correct you every step of the way along the way. When I first moved here, there was this huge evergreen bush in my front yard. Somewhere in the middle of it was my postal box. And nobody had ever trimmed this. The people that owned the house before me rented it out, and the renters did not take care of any sort of gardening. So this bush, postal box, there was a hole you could look in there and see it. And somehow the postal people were allowing this to exist, but it was horrible, this bush. So I ripped it out. And I ripped it out on one of my days off. And the next day, that evening, I got home from work, and there was a notice on my door from the code enforcement people saying, you have so many days to repair this bald spot in your yard. There's a code that says you can't just leave an open bare patch in your lawn. Now, how do you suppose that they found out in less than 24 hours? Well, the neighbors later told me there's one couple in the neighborhood there that are the self-appointed code police. Anything goes amiss, boy, they're on the phone right now. So they were out, and I was under the gun. I went out and bought some sod and just laid it over the hole until I could reclaim that and make that straightened out. That's the backside of being people that hold other people accountable. There are some who do that overzealously, and that's not what God is calling us to. Those neighbors have since moved away. I might have just worn them out. But I have an amazing neighborhood now. I was thinking about that the other day. I have people from Hispanic people. I have African-American people. I have Ukrainians. I have Asians. I have Indians from India. And I have some other people that I'm not sure where they're from. And it doesn't matter because we all wave to each other. I went out to say hello to somebody one time, and I started talking to them. They just nod their head a lot and kept going. So I knew they didn't speak any English, and that was okay. God made us these diverse people. I'm on a little on a sidetrack there. Let me come back. The scripture goes on to say, when we call these wicked, say to them, as I live, says the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from their ways and live. That's the good news. That's the part of that that says God is willing to draw everybody in. Nobody that has transgressed is beyond God's redemption. And it's calling the people to be non-judgmental. So how do we do that? How do we become so non-judgmental? Jesus on the cross forgives those who crucified him. How can we become that non-judgmental? Our vacation Bible song, I Monday when I have an approximate idea of what my theme is, I email or I text Stephanie and I say, here's the approximate theme. Do you have any Vacation Bible School songs that have that kind of theme in them? And she is amazing. She always comes up with something, and usually that's what we hear. So thank you, Stephanie. Thank you. But we sang that this morning. Nothing can separate me from his love. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. And one line, Jesus is the cure for every sin-sick soul. I have to make sure I say that slowly, or else it's Peter Piper, pick, you know how that goes downhill. Jesus, redeeming God, I will save them. So confronting the wicked, it's telling someone, calling them to account, is not judging them. It's saying, hey, you're going to drown. Let me help you. How can I help you? There's danger here. We need to turn to the one who can save us. And Jesus, of course, our Savior. And we turn to Matthew, the gospel lesson. How many of you have heard that often before? It's not in our lectionary. It isn't read normally in our three-year rotation. That particular pericope, that little chunk in Matthew, and it only exists in Matthew. It is exclusive to his gospel, the paying of the temple tax. Kind of a convoluted, interesting one, and the original language changes it slightly to specify. You see, you ever heard of a drachma? Richard, where do they use drachmas? Greece, okay. Well, and I'm sure you're right. So drachma in Greece, that would make most sense. And so have you ever heard of a drachma, a 2-drachma coin, or a stater? I don't know. I am not a numismatist, coin collector, coin aficionado. I don't know my coins well, but they're talking about this in the passage because Jesus will reference this coin as a didrachma, 2-drachma coin or stater. And it pays for two people. And he tells Simon Peter, go to the sea and cast a hook. Take the first fish that comes up, and when you open the mouth, you will find a stater, two, or a didrachma coin. Take that and give it to them for my tax and for Simon Peter's tax, for the two of us. Why would Jesus pay the tax? They're calling him to account. The temple tax collectors are saying, does your master pay the temple tax? And Simon Peter says, yes. So there's an interesting discussion going on there. Jesus knows about it and immediately tells them. He says, do you think it's all right? And then they have this interesting congregation. Do the children pay or do others? Well, sadly, the temple tax collectors didn't make their kids pay. If you were relatives of the tax collectors, you didn't have to pay tax. You got off. Others paid the temple tax. So there's some corruption even within the temple. But Jesus points out to Simon Peter that it's okay even amongst that corrupt system, and this is the tax collectors. It's okay, we will do this so that we don't offend anyone. Jesus didn't really oppose the temple. You recall that he risked a lot when he went and cleansed the temple. There was a lot going in there. You remember the money changers and the temple herds and all of those are in there. Well, they were corrupting the system as well. If you went to the temple and you wanted to offer up your offering, you couldn't use Greek or Roman coins. You had to use Hebrew coins. Well, nobody used Hebrew coins, so you had to exchange them. There were little tables there where you could exchange your money for the correct money. But they did the exchange at a rate. They made a profit on exchanging funds for you. That's usury. And that's what was being confronted when Jesus cleansed the temple of the money changers. Giving of money, sharing of money, doing all of those things, Jesus is not criticizing those. In fact, maintaining the temple would have been something he would have approved of, I do believe. That body, which was, as he said, my Father's house. But this human system of collecting the fees to maintain the structure had some corruption. Do you participate in the corruption by paying the taxes? Jesus said, let us do this now so that we give no offense. And that's important, you see, because Jesus is the one who had no sin. Jesus is the one who was sinless in his atonement for humanity. And that's important to recognize. He was the lamb, innocent, pure, white lamb that was sacrificed for you and me. So we have all of this stuff going on, and Jesus, again, could have said, let's just take all the disciples, let's move out into the wilderness, let's do what John was doing when he went out in the wilderness and ate honey and wrapped himself in horsehair. But Jesus is in the world. And just as Ezekiel said, we are to be in the world as well. We are offering God, and we're to do that lovingly, non-judgmentally, honestly, compassionately, seeking, as God is, the salvation of our brothers and sisters. Amen? Amen.